I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. He's helped me overcome a long addiction to pornography. My name is Paul. So tonight, we're working on Lesson 10, Spiritual Inventory, Spiritual Inventory 1. What led up to this lesson was that we recognized a denial of our habits. We recognized our habits and that we were in denial. And we came to understand that we are powerless and need a higher power. And we recognized that Jesus is that higher power and have turned to him. And then we turned to the process, this process of doing an inventory. And at this point in the process, it's helpful to have connected with a sponsor. Paul A. led us last teaching 2 weeks ago in the general inventory process overall, and he showed us the charts and led us through each column and things like that. And so today, now we want to start on some detail about actually sitting down and taking this inventory. So let's read together Principle 4 and Step 4 again. Principle 4, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. And Step 4, we made a searching inventory of ourselves. And the verse, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord, Lamentations 3:40. So Lamentations 3 is a good chapter to read. Earlier in that chapter, it says this in Lamentations 3:19 through 23. It describes the feelings associated with not examining our ways. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remember and is bowed down within me. Therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, and for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And that's Lamentations 3:19 through 23. So our goal is to do the examining and rely on God's faithfulness to carry us through. For many people, looking at in depth at yourself and your past is uncomfortable, or maybe you even think it's unnecessary. I was over 60 before it ever occurred to me that there might be something wrong, and I was definitely resistant to doing this process. It seemed like a lot of work. However, doing it helped me a lot. Dragging my feet didn't help at all. So I think that's where we should start, and let's jump in on the examination part. The things we go over tonight will feed the categories that Paul A. talked about last teaching. When you do this process, it's like data gathering. I'm a data-driven person. I tried to figure out how best to get going. And so what I did was I tried to divide my life into 10-year segments, 0 to 10, 10 to 20, and think about what happened in those years. And that proved to be very hard for me to do because I couldn't remember things like that. So in my case, and we moved a lot growing up. So I decided to look at what happened in each town. And surprisingly, I had a lot of memories about what happened in each town. And so anyway, that's how I started to sort of gather facts. And whatever works for you, whatever jogs your memory, is good to do. So in the handout, the first section is called Relationship with Others. The scripture is Matthew 6:12 through 13. Forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Don't bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that's from the Lord's Prayer. The verse is reminding us that God forgave us. We need to forgive others. And sometimes we need to receive forgiveness from others and from ourselves. So we're going to ask a couple of questions here. First, number one in this section, who has hurt you? Could be just about anybody. It could be an organization like the church you grew up in. My list includes a prior boss that threw me under the bus to protect himself, which made me distrustful of authority. Number two, who have you been holding a grudge against? Something that you resist forgiving, a past insult or injury. Sometimes writing these things down is the first step to moving on. And on my list, I had mentioned the long-term effects financially of being passed over for promotion. Number three, who are you still looking for revenge against? I didn't write anything down there. I didn't feel I was having revenge, and that's okay. So these are just things to jog you in the right direction. Number four, are you jealous of someone? Song of Solomon 8:6 says, jealousy is as severe as Sheol or hell. It's flashes or flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. That kind of describes jealousy. That's pretty serious. Jealousy is something we do not want to hang on to. So get it down on paper for starters. That was a difficult one for me, but I said I was jealous of people that know how to play politics at work, because I wasn't very good at it. The people that come up in these questions go in column one of that chart called the person. So we hurt people too. Other people hurt us, we hurt others. So number six, who have you hurt? Intentionally or not? In my list, I listed my wife and kids in various ways during my addiction. Number seven, who have you been critical about or gossiped about? The Bible warns us about watching what we say. James 3:5-6 says this, if I can get the gist right here. The tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Boom. That's a good one to think about. The second fill-in is priorities in your life. Oh, by the way, my list about critical included leaders that I served under, including in church. So under priorities in your life, what do we put first in our lives? And there's plenty to choose from. For a lot of us here tonight, first place does not go to God. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we need to take a look at what our priorities really are. Here are some questions. Number one, after making the decision to turn your life and your will over to God, in what areas of your life are you still not putting God first? What closet are you not letting him enter and clean out? At the beginning of my recovery, I kept my whole secret life separated from God. Even I thought it was a secret from God. I controlled my own time, and I doled out some of it to God. Number two, what in your past is interfering with your doing God's will? Are your pleasures interfering? If your pleasure is found in the world, Proverbs 2:17 says, he who loves pleasure will become poor. For me, this was a definite yes. Porn squeezes God out, and it affects time in ministry and time in relationships. And the second part of this is your pleasure found in Jesus Christ. Psalm 16:11 tells us, "You will teach me how to live a holy life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." When I came to recovery, the answer to this, "Is your pleasure found in Jesus Christ?" was no. But now God has helped me out of my habit, and great pleasures come from closeness to Jesus Christ. Number three, by the way, if you're wanting to know all these questions and can't get them all down, you can hear this testimony on the website after it's posted. Not testimony, but teaching. So, number three, what have been your priorities in your job? Friendships? Personal goals? Were these self-centered or self-serving? Does the success of your company enter into your priorities? For me, my job took priority over God. And my own personal goals were more important than the goals of the job. So that's how it was for me. Number four, who do your priorities affect? Do you place your priorities in front of your relationships? For me, priorities affect anybody that is not one of the priorities. I've been able to shift my priorities since beginning in CR. So number five, what was good about your priorities? Before recovery, I think my priorities were not that good. I try now to keep Christ in my priorities every day. Before, my priorities were kind of wrong things in my habit. So the third fill-in is your attitude. The verse is Ephesians 4:31. Get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. The next verse, not printed in your handout, is, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So I'll read those again. Kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. So number one, do you always try to have an attitude of gratitude, or do you find yourself always complaining about your circumstances? John Baker says, he founded CR, when you feel dog-tired at night, do you ever think that it might because you growled all day? That sounds like John Baker. For me, I'm not too much of a complainer. I'll think about that. But it was later in my recovery that I began a daily journal, and I forced myself to write down one thing every day that I was grateful for each day. And that's helped me to look at things in a different light. Number two, in what areas of your life are you ungrateful? For me, I was ungrateful for my first marriage, was ungrateful for God before recovery, and I was ungrateful for my parents, but that was only because all my problems were their fault. So, also, sometimes we're not grateful for bad things that happen, but we should be grateful because God might be trying to tell us something, to communicate with us. 1 Corinthians 5:57 says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Number three, have you gotten angry and easily blown up at people? For me, I don't easily blow up, but usually it can happen in periods of extreme stress or chaos. I used to do this, I would try to work on it all the time, but when my grandkids would be around, then there would be all this stuff going on, and they wouldn't mind and stuff. It would just drive me. I'd wait and wait and wait and try and try, and then I would just blow up at them, usually scream at them. So God has helped me with this for sure. Number four, have you been sarcastic? We think of sarcasm as a type of humor. But really it's a form of verbal abuse. I was very sarcastic to almost everyone. I learned it in junior high, and I became very proficient at it. I was sarcastic to my parents, my wife, my kids, and my coworkers. I said everybody. So, number five, what in your past is still causing you fear or anxiety? Can faith in Christ's care help? So here's an interesting little chart. Fear and faith, fear and faith. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear imprisons, faith liberates. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. Fear sickens, and faith heals. For me, I've been fearful a lot through life about money issues, usually never thinking I had enough. So that was what I wrote down. In 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And Romans 8:1 says, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So there's no need for fear of punishment when we're promised no condemnation. That's a great thing. All right, the final fill-in is integrity, your integrity. And the verse is, do not lie to each other. You have left your old sinful life and the things you did before, Colossians 3:9. So the questions are these. Number one, in what past dealing were you dishonest? If you are honest, you will change your ideas to fit the truth. But if you're dishonest, you will change the truth to fit your ideas. So number two, have you stolen things? Really? This is not an easy one. For me, I don't remember, but I probably did when I was a kid. No, I never did that. I don't think I ever did that. You can think about it. Number three, have you exaggerated yourself to make yourself look better? There are not degrees of honest. You either are honest or you are not. For me, I exaggerated on resumes so that I could make myself appear to be better qualified. Number four, in what areas of your past have you used false humility? For me, by responding to a compliment, like something like, oh, it's nothing, when people compliment you. Now, 1 Peter 5:5-6 says this about humility. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. That was 1 Peter 5:5-6. Number five, have you pretended to live one way in front of your Christian friends and another way at home or at work? Have you followed the 8 principles 7 days a week, or just here Wednesday night? This is called being a Sunday Christian. Are you one of those people? They think we're one of those people. For me, the answer is, yeah, of course I did. But this is becoming less common for me because of recovery. Okay, so that's the four areas to think about. And this has been the first lesson on doing a spiritual inventory. And it's covered interactions with others. I know it's hard to get all these down. And as I mentioned, you can get the teaching, again, if you need it, on rollinghillscr.org. The answer to these types of questions leads us towards forgiveness and amends. So the next lesson in 2 weeks, we'll cover our old ways of thinking about our minds, the way we have mistreated our temple, meaning our bodies, and important past relationships with our family and the church, or even our own church. So in Isaiah 1:18, God says, "No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow." Thanks.